Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We've been looking at Psalm 73 because the Lord told me in December that He wanted to speak to me out of Psalm 73, and oh, has He ever. Of course, we have gone all last week, and you can go back in the archives and see how the whole psalm in the beginning talks about how the wicked are prospering. And the psalmist almost goes into, you might say, a backslidden condition because of it, until the Bible says he entered the sanctuary of God, and then he understood. And there in the sanctuary of God, he saw the judgment of the wicked, all right, but he saw the declaration of the righteous. So that's our declaration. And in the sanctuary of God, that's the nearness of God, the closeness of God, the consciousness of His nearness, the presence. And he writes, of course, the Holy Ghost writes the Bible, but the Holy Ghost through the psalmist writes, verse 28, "But as for me, God's closeness is my goodness. I have put my refuge in my Lord, Hashem Elohim, that I may read that, so that," this is the purpose. Our purpose on this earth is to relate God's mission, "so that I may relate all of your mission." God has a mission on the earth to reveal Himself to the people. The mission of the Jews is to reveal Him to the nations. The mission of the church is to reveal Him to the world, to the peoples of this world, all the nations, all the peoples, everyone. We are to manifest the glory of God. That's why we're called the Glorious Church, and that's why the mystery concerning us is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it is written, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts," the believer, "to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." He wants us to understand the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That word power is dunamis. And that word dunamis is the explosive power. In 1972, and I started this story on Friday and had to rush it up, and I want to start all back at the beginning so that you can hear it correctly. In 1972, Dr. Richard Eby, a certified obstetrician and gynecologist, fell two stories to his death, and it was a death. He did die. The Lord gave him a glimpse of paradise before sending him back to this life. In Dr. Eby's book, Caught Up Into Paradise, he gives the account, along with the story of his entire life. A miracle, the book relates, which I've remembered for years, however, concerned Dr. Eby's father, who was head of General Electric's high voltage bushing division. In 1908, the company's president predicted America's future. And I'm quoting Dr. Eby's book right now. In 1908, the company's president predicted America's future would depend upon vast voltages of electrical energy. But the lack of proper insulators, called bushings, stood in the way. Invention after invention lay thwarted on the drawing boards for want of one little item, some type of porcelain which would withstand the multi-millions of electrical volts such as were loosed somewhere every day by lightning storms. In the unique lightning lab, where his colleagues were bombarding bushings made of every known porcelain using man-made thunderbolts, the bushings had exploded, along with their daily hopes. One morning, Eugene Eby shared with his family at breakfast, "I finally told God last night that I was ready to give up, along with my whole staff. We are totally exhausted emotionally from the frustrating years of failures. I told him that he would have to show us an answer or let the world go along without the blessing of his great electrical power being harnessed for his children's use. My Bible fell open to John, the second chapter, about how Jesus changed water to wine. God started talking directly into my mind. He said clearly, "Know ye not that I have spoken through my word? Did I not use 6 pots, big ones? Was it not my power that changed the water? He that hath ears, let him hear, saith the Lord." Dr. Eby's father said, "I prayed for the interpretation. Those stone water pots were unusually large for a wedding party. To an engineer, that means the stone-like pottery was super strong. There were 6. 6 is the number of man. And what about the chemistry of changing water to alcohol? It would take millions of volts to rearrange the molecules. And the pots withstood all that power. Monday, I will declare a holiday and close down the division while everyone rests. When they return, I will expect an answer. God says it will be pottery, man-made, and virtually blast-proof." That's what he had received from the Lord's word regarding the miracle at the wedding. Back to what he wrote. A White House wire arrived from President Hoover urging Dad to schedule an immediate conference regarding his huge hydroelectric project, Boulder Dam. The cement was being poured for the footings. The huge transformers would soon arrive. The world's greatest dam would be useless as a power source, he pointedly noted, unless Eby solved the bushing problem right now. God knew that his friend, Herbert, was dead serious. Produce or else. Dad's division was back to work. One by one, Dad, when they came back after their vacation that he'd given them, one by one, Dad queried his staff about any unusual events they could recall. He recalled his Schenectady office. He telephoned his Schenectady office to his number one porcelain man. "Is that you, Cermak? Where'd you go?" "I saw France and Rome, stopped at Greece, and I stayed over 2 days in Egypt. Got off the boat and heard the hawker selling a camel ride to that newly opened tomb, King something, Tut for short. For a quarter, he bounced me across the desert. That tomb is really something. I bribed the guard to let me palm a souvenir, and he jumped at the chance." Into the night hours, something kept bugging Dad. God would surely not have let him down. Pottery, man-made, ancient, east, water jug. Like a bolt of the very lightning he was trying to control, a picture suddenly focused in his mind. Could it be? "So sorry, Sir Mac, to phone you at 4 a.m. He called the man in Schenectady back. "You said you visited a tomb, Tut. What was the souvenir you stole when the guard looked away?" "Now, Gene, you wouldn't be about to get me in trouble for a measly piece of pottery. Now that you ask about it, tomorrow I'll break off a piece and get it tested for its chemical composition. Might have a batch of clay made up from the formula and send you a piece." Dad could scarcely control his voice. "Make it in the shape of a bushing. And that's an order." As Dad and I stood in the lightning lab a fortnight later, he ordered the test men to fire up every available condenser their transformers could handle. The resulting arc shook the building and us, but it didn't faze King Tut's bushing. Within the hour, President Hoover had his answer. The world's largest power plant could now safely send its megavolts across the Mojave. The 20th century needed God's power on the earth. In 2000, I was in a meeting and the Lord gave me a word. I'm going to read that to you now. "I've been hearing a word in my spirit, and the word is explosion. I heard it twice. It's an explosion that's happening in the body of Christ and all around the world. It's coming out of us. It's a power. There's a force in our words. There's a force in our anointing that's happening. And that power is able to bring about the plans and the purposes of God. And you shall see with your eyes what the all-wise God has determined. Give yourselves completely unto him, for he must have you. The power to do these things is working in you. Everything will come to pass. Every job will be done. Every person will be won. We will move into the next age, and we are now upon the stage. The entering of that age is coming to pass. The ages are overlapping now. The resurrection power of God will explode within us. Raise us up. Renew our youth. Energize ourselves to complete the work of God exactly on schedule. And see, folks, that goes in line with God wanting to talk to me. I just pulled this up off of my computer this morning to come to the radio program. And right now I'm just so excited as I'm reading it because it fits in with Psalm 73. God's closeness is my goodness. Goodness, his glory, his power is working in me. And then he says that he has a mission so that I may relate all of your mission. Our mission, his mission is to manifest his glory in the earth. He has put that glory, we are told in 2 Corinthians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he put it in clay pots. Clay pots, earthen vessels. That's me, that's you. And the power's working in us. And we are able to withstand that power. The Word of God tells us his power works within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's about to be a manifestation of the glory of God in the glorious church, like the stone pots which withstood the miracle of the changing of the water into wine. We must be able to withstand the power God wants to work within us. This will require walking in the law of love. God's glory, as it will manifest now, will either bless or judge, depending upon one's capacity to receive it. The wicked or the righteous, the glory, his nearness, his glory is the goodness of the righteous. This is Billy Brim, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. At 417-336-4877, you can contact us. Bless the Lord. And you can write us at Billy Brim, or you can go online to billybrim.org, or you can write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri. We love to get letters, and we love to hear your comments on this radio program, or your joining us live on Wednesdays. This is Billy Brim saying, be with us the rest of the week as we look at how do you come into the presence of that glory? How do you come into the closeness of God? This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.